Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. Foregone is a new alternative metal project out of South Carolina. I spoke with Devin, followed by a brief word from Randy, to learn what we're to expect from their new band and single, Hubris.
You guys are like brand new.
Yeah, I mean, we might be even younger than brand new, honestly.
Why the name Foregone?
Foregone was a name that we kind of chose because it symbolizes the ancient, you know, the core of Christ and the age of pre-existing humanity or history. So that's sounded pretty metal. So we were like, yeah, that sounds like a good one to me. And started to experiment with how that interfaced with art, and some of the things that we started generating were based on like the Tree of Life, and obviously Christ is that. So that's kind of where that came from.
Tell us the story of how it came together, because I was contacted by Randy Elswick, who I know from Collision of Innocence, and he is part of this project. So tell us a little bit about how this band got together.
So the Rock Church in Conway, South Carolina, that's the main campus anyway. There's a branch of it in Surfside or the south end of the Myrtle Beach area, and we call it the South Strand Church. And as of right now, it's just a remote one that's at a high school called St. James. And I've been playing drums for this church for 18 years, maybe, long time. And he and I ended up on stage together a couple times. I remember Randy having reached out to me directly one week, and he was like, hey, man, there's this end part of, I can't remember the song, I want to say it was Here Is in Heaven. And I mean, it'd be awesome if you do some double kick here. And just to preface that, I'm a drummer, he's a guitarist. But that struck me because that's not very typical. And I've played with a lot of musicians, and not many people care enough to put that kind of thought or creativity into it. And making that connection really spoke with me on that front. And, you know, we just kind of connected there and started getting into writing mode, and probably alternative to what is standard for me in writing music. I started just putting grooves down and sending him over as ideas. And then, you know, hours later, he would spit back with ideas for riffs and things that would adjoin with that. It started transforming these grooves into songs. And we have a bunch of ideas out there that I mostly do the compilation, the drum, and, you know, a lot of the legwork stuff that's going on. So the single that we're about to drop is Hubris. That's the one that hit first. You know, most of the song was written from a groove perspective before there was ever any guitar to it. And I know that can be kind of a daunting task sometimes, to write guitar parts over top of just a groove with no other vision or creativity. But he's got a lot of creative vision in that front, and it just turned into something that excited both of us. And it's one of the first songs I've written or recorded that kind of kept my interest for that long. A lot of times you write and record a song and you eventually get to the point where you don't really want to hear the song anymore. And I'm not there yet. So it's saying something, I think, about the song that I can still listen to it and enjoy it. Because it's for me, like when I cook, I don't really like the food that I cooked because I'm sick of it by the time I eat it. Usually writing music is that way for me, and it's not with this song, so I'm excited in that front.
Is it just the two of you at this point?
It would be the two of us as the originating members of this band specifically, and we've brought in some guys that have really contributed well to the prospect. The vocalist's name is Trevor Lake, and he's out of the West Coast. He did our vocals. We brought in a guy from, I think the name is Fury Hearted Productions, that did some of our FX stuff on this song. And then Daryl, he did the bass track for us. And he
Daryl
was actually
Cherry?
Yes. So he did some of the bass and helped with the compilation of some of the guitar tracks.
Have you been together enough to know what genre you're going to be?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure that I can ever come up with a specific genre for myself anyway, because my mind is all over the place. But, you know, I struggle with that. But I would say, you know, somewhere in the realm of a cross between progressive metal and heavy rock. I think we tried to keep it relevant and fresh so that it would be enticing to listeners, but tried to also make connections to, you know, what we grew up on. Like, one of the things that we kept going for is to introduce some vocal components that had like a Linkin Park feel. And, you know, you can hear that come up in some of these tonal screams, but it's a combination of a bunch of things. Have you had a chance to listen to the link that he sent you?
Yes, I did. It goes pretty hard.
Yeah, and that's just a first take. I mean, we still have some corrections we're going to be making. I actually redid some of the drum parts and sent them over. Joel Wanasek, he's producing it for it, or he's mixing it for us. He's out of Milwaukee. He's done some bands like Monuments and some of the derivatives of those. He just did one for, what's the vocalist for Creed? What's his name?
Scott Stapp.
Yes. So he just did a record for him. He's got some pretty big names that he's worked with, so it's kind of an exciting proposition.
Are you planning on releasing a single, or are y'all heading for the EP like right off the bat?
This will be a single drop, I think, and we're going to try to do that sometime early to mid-fall, I think. That was the projection.
Mm-hmm.
I could see us dropping a short 3 or 4 song album in the near future, because we have that many ideas out there that are mostly formed. It's just the question of affording the time, because we've basically from the beginning said we would rather not release any music than to release subpar music. So the only thing we really care about is introducing the highest level of quality we can.
Tell us what people should expect from it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I touched on the stylistic parts of it a little bit, you know, what we were pulling from Envision. But in general, I think the approach for this song has been that it has a really beefy low end with a punchy kick drum. The song that I heard most recently that drove me to who we have mixing for us is a song called Tide by Ollie Steele. And it's just an instrumental. It's T-Y-E-D. And what I noted to Joel about the song that I really liked was the way it drives hard under volume. Some mixes can sound pretty full, but when you get them loud enough, they start to lose some steam, like you've peaked out. Mm-hmm. I like mixes, and sometimes it feels like it's more on the analog side, that the harder you push, the more kick you get out of it, or the more punch. And that's what I wanted out of our mix. So in the overall sound profile, I want to say we wanted punchy. We wanted something that wasn't overly busy with notes, that had a good chop to it. And we love breakdowns, so we wanted the ending to have some stank face generation, which I think we've accomplished. And I'm excited to see what, you know, listeners are thinking about it as well. As far as the song and its content lyrically, I was reading some things and just listening to what was going on in the world. And the lyrics are about the hubris of man and how that translates to, you know, men on high sort of playing chess with the world at, you know, I think you see that throughout history, not just now, throughout the world. And it's a human thing that I think is never going to go away. The hubris of man will continue to generate problems for generations to come as long as we're still here.
I know you've been doing worship and that sort of thing, but yeah. Is this the first professional project for you?
So I guess that depends on what you consider professional. I mean, I've done session stuff.
Okay.
On the drum side, I've done cover bands, and I've done some fill-in positions for touring musicians, but just on a one-off kind of basis. A lot of that has to do with the rest of my life, which is owning 2 businesses, playing at church 2 to 3 times a week, and having a family, that doesn't leave me with a lot of time. But music for me is a bit of a release. And one of the things I kind of joke about is I almost refuse to take money in exchange for playing music most of the time, because my mind is wired in this way that it instantly starts to dislike the things that I get paid for, because it turns it into this mental job. When you become a little bit of age, you start to realize that passions are really hard to find and come by. And so I start guarding the things that I consider passions of mine and try not to turn them into a job. I've read plenty of books about business, and most of them share that same sentiment that you should avoid using your passion as a segue into a job or a business. You know, there's these sayings out there that talk about do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. I don't agree with that, because I think you can turn any passion into a job and you'll start to loathe that job for taking your passion away. And that's particularly highlighted in my life. So music for me is an escape, and I tend to treat it that way. And regardless of what else is going on in my life, I can find time for it because I'm passionate about it. And it's a release and a way for me to disconnect from the rest of my life.
Does your creativity bleed over into your other businesses as well?
You know, I typically wouldn't consider myself a creative type. Obviously, there has to be some creativity to come up with music. I think my brain is structured more in a math way. And while there's creativity there, I tend to think of things in numbers and black and white. So while there's creativity, it almost feels mathematical to me when I come up with whatever it is that I play in music. I would say I'm not so much a visionary as I'm the realist that puts the thought processes to the pavement, typically.
Okay, so you're methodical.
Typically, I am. As methodical as you can be while still having compartmentalization issues like ADHD. I'm sort of diagnosed with that, and I think that I have to live my life in a way that is flexible against those kinds of mental states.
You can use that as a gift.
That's true. I agree. I mean, I think there's some things that I couldn't accomplish otherwise, and I have little bits of knowledge on a whole bunch of topics because I chase the dopamine and I need to figure out enough to satisfy myself about a bunch of things. It's one of those jack of all trades and a master of none, right?
Yes, exactly right. I know some people that say that their ADHD is their superpower.
It can be. I mean, seriously.
I mean, if you know you have it, then you learn how to work with it, you know.
Sure.
What do you hope people are going to take away from this music?
I hate to go down a road of self-importance and think that I'm going to change the world with our music. What I hope is that, you know, we can make some music that people can really get into and enjoy and can also have a message behind it, but doesn't have to be the kind of music that you would turn off if you weren't a Christian because it's so blatantly so. I don't mean that there's anything wrong with Christian music. Obviously not. I play in a worship band, but I also think that Jesus met people where they were at. And I hope that we can make music that anybody would listen to, and it's not just Christians. Because, I mean, bluntly speaking, Christians aren't the ones that need Christian lyrics the most, right?
Exactly.
I feel like the ones you want to reach are not the ones that are already talking to God every day.
Exactly. There's a whole bunch of people out there that need to hear a message.
Yeah, these arguments a lot about people talking about, are you a Christian band or are you Christians in a band? It feels like a very sharp line to draw in the sand. And I don't really know where I want to be on that line. We're Christians in a band, and I foresee most of our music having some sort of context of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I hope that it's moving people in that way. But I also might want to write some music that is not necessarily worship, as long as it glorifies God. I don't see what the problem with that is either.
As long as it comes from your worldview, which is a Christian viewpoint, right?
Right.
We can write songs about love, you know, and right. about relationships and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. So, yeah, I completely agree with that. What's the kind of thing that keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? Snoring. I mean, you know, I don't retain things mentally mostly, so I don't think much keeps me up at night, but this sounds so vain for me to say that there's nothing out there that bothers me enough to keep me up at night, but I would say it's self-revelation and the security and stability of my family. You know, I certainly take charge and responsibility for my family and making sure that they are treated well and have what they need and are also going down the right road. So those things can obviously be a weight. And I think I'm discovering some things about myself when it comes to mental and emotional states. I've always considered myself to be a relatively stoic person or maybe an unfeeling one. And I think it comes down to maybe that's not the case. I just don't know how to handle my own emotions. So I got to figure out a way to have outlets for those. And maybe that's what music is for me.
When have you been the happiest?
Probably on my wedding day and on the birth of my son would be the top. But touching on that, I have this memory, and I've answered this question recently, actually, and this just kind of comes to me. But there's this one time in my childhood, for whatever reason, it's very defined in an age where I probably don't have any other defined memories that aren't traumatic ones. I don't know why I remember it, but it's easy to remember the bad things and not so easy to remember the good things. So the fact that it sticks out is important to me. But I wake up, it's a spring day. I don't know, maybe I'm 5, 6 years old. I remember vividly getting out of my bed. It was a bunk bed in a house I grew up in where my dad built a house out of what used to be an old schoolhouse. So it was a cool home, big fireplace, hardwood floors. I remember the feeling of the wooden floors on my bare feet as I walked to the back door that was open and the screen was in front of me. And I just remember thinking, there is no problems I have to deal with right now. I feel good. The weather feels good. The air smells clean and fresh and nice. And I feel like that is what I would strive for as an adult. How do you get back to that point of contentment?
Yeah.
And that memory for me is one that just sticks out very sharply in a sea of muddy memories from that age.
That's fascinating. That moment of peace.
Yep. And probably these days, even more so than would be usual, because we're all connected all the time.
Right.
You know, we have our devices, running businesses. It always requires being able to be contacted and being able to respond to crisis as they come up. So that idea that you can disconnect and be content without those things is a very appealing one.
Back when it was very innocent and very simple.
Exactly.
Would you like to share your faith journey?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I grew up in church, but didn't really want to be there when I was young. I didn't exactly love it. So I grew up and I was the kid that pretended to be smarter than he was and wanted to ask questions just to make things challenging on Sunday school teachers, because I wasn't ever content with the canned answers that everyone gave, and generally perturbed by the, you know, Baptists think this way and comparing what's tradition versus biblical. I would say if it wasn't for the kind of church that I go to now, I probably would have lost it, because I just didn't really like to be there. I felt like I was surrounded by hypocrites. Everyone is a hypocrite, myself included. I don't mean that to slam anybody or any kind of church or anything like that, but that's how I felt about it in the moment. And it felt like it was an environment that was catering to Christians, which obviously Christians need help. They need catering to, and they need support. That seems to gloss over the people that need Jesus the most. I went through this transition where I didn't really care too much about church or being part of it. And my lifestyle definitely showed that. Plenty of drinking and smoking and all that kind of stuff. So I remember hitting this point where this one night everything just kind of culminated and I started getting these chest pains, and turns out it was not heart related or anything like that, but it just made me sort of reflect on some things. And I just kind of cold turkey quit all the things that I was doing at the time. And it gave me sort of a fresh perspective. And around that time is when the church that I play for now was kind of getting started. And my father was a part of that because I think he saw that there was a lot of the sort of traditional churches around that were not really attracting those that may be the furthest from God. And we started as a small plant. And we were in a seafood restaurant first, and then went through high school where we were set up campus. And then we were at a movie theater when we got kicked out of the high school. And I think that just embedded me in this love for the chaos that comes with a set up and tear down campus. And I keep chasing that. But I remember some changes that happened with me. And one of the final changes is my wife, Ashley, she was one of the first women that I sought out for probably a quality and personality and a biblical mindset. And that made all the difference in the world because she's definitely helped form me into what I am and made me a better person, helped me to curb some of my angry reactions. And I think she's helped me to be a much better father than I could have been without her. And helping me to see the mindset and the perspective of the child too. So I think ultimately the church that I attend now had a very big part and role in helping me connect back with God in a way that makes sense to me. And I obviously strayed from that. So a lifetime of Christianity and attending church, but a more real connection in the last 15 years or so, based on a feeling like I was in a place that I belonged to.
What are some of the first bands or artists that really spoke to you that got you interested in music?
90s rock music would have been the one that connected to me. And the things that come to mind are Stained, Linkin Park, Seether, Slipknot. You know, there was plenty of bands and a lot of them were obviously not Christian bands. I've always loved Tool. It's sometimes hard to listen to it because the lyrics are so sacrilegious. But Tool, I would view as one of the kickstarters of the sort of math rock genre, you know, maybe even some early feeling of the djent, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So appreciated. Danny Carey's a phenomenal drummer, and that highlights a lot of what I try to strive for as a drummer is to condense your complications into bursts instead of playing a bunch of notes for a really long extended period of time, that you condense these complex parts and you craft a story around that so that it's not just blasting the whole time. I don't really like songs that are constant screaming or constant blast beats. And I obviously appreciate guys that play that because it's hard to play it and it takes a lot of capability and endurance to do so. Mm-hmm. But I really value and appreciate these little bursts of complexities that allow you to admire it and appreciate it. And that's where I would say Danny Carey's playing and Tool and genres like that really lead into what I strive to be as a drummer. I'm not Danny Carey, but I would say that inspires me.
When did you decide that you need to pick up the sticks and find you a kit?
You know, I had some family friends. One of them was a jazz drummer, and I wish I had listened to him more because he really wanted to coach me and teach me the fundamentals of playing. But I was all about rock, and I just want to thrash the drums and hit them hard. And I kind of glossed over, you know, rudimentary stuff that was being put down on just the snare drum at the time because, like, hey, I'm already jamming with my buddies. Why do I need this? But I was probably 5 or 6, 7 years old. And I remember just bumping around on his drum kit and loving it. But my first drum kit was around the age of 9. Mm-hmm. My parents gave me that. I remember it was a CB percussion kit that came from McFadden's Music in Myrtle Beach. And that was my first get. And the only lesson that I've ever had was the VHS that came with it that showed like the four basic beats, you know, in a 4-4 that was kick and snare alternating on beats. Outside of that, everything else has been trial and error pretty much. We're going to be dropping Hubris sometime early to mid-fall. It's just about planning for when we want to release it. Randy and I are going to get together to plan that out and see how we want to work through that. I'd like to make sure that our social platforms have enough content where, you know, people are interested to peruse it. But both of us are pretty busy in everyday life too. So we're trying to work through it and to rope in. We've got other projects we're working on too. We've got one that, has a female lead vocalist that's more on the probably pop punk side. Actually pretty excited about that one too, because we've got some cool stuff in the works. And we're also going to be working on some worship stuff too, some worship centric music that we feel maybe breaks the mold a little bit. What I've come to understand over the years of playing in a worship setting is oftentimes the songs I enjoy the most are the ones that the congregation or audience seems to enjoy the least, because they're there to worship and they want emotion, feeling, and then consistency. And if I appreciate a song for its complexity or its groove, oftentimes that's lost on anybody else but me. And that's a humbling thing too, because it shows me that no matter what I play or how fancy I am, no one really cares, and it's not about me. That certainly can ground you. Worship music, the pop punk band that we're looking at with some more local musicians that I'm pretty excited about. We're dropping the single Hubris in the fall.
Awesome. What are your socials?
So it's Foregone Band on Facebook, Instagram, and on X.
Okay. Formerly known as Twitter. So watch the socials and you'll know when it drops and you'll know when to run over to your favorite streaming service. Are you going to do anything in the way of YouTube? Any videos?
We're definitely planning to drop a video on YouTube as well.
What are your favorite road snacks?
Right now, I've kind of reduced my diet because I get a lot of migraine triggers. So we're going to go with Cape Cod potato chips, freeze-dried apple slices, and the black bean chips from Aldi, and Coke Zero.
If you're going to be on the road, what's your favorite restaurant to stop in?
Cracker Barrel, probably. Mm-hmm. Their chicken fried chicken with that white gravy.
Hopefully, we'll get to see this thing drop soon, and maybe you think you might take it on the road?
Yeah, I could see us playing some shows. I don't see either one of us really hitting the road full-time. I'm 100% on that.
All right, then. We'll hopefully see you there.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, good night.
Have a good night.
All right, bye-bye. That was Devin, but there's another founding member of this band, Randy Elswick, who was unable to make the call. So I asked him to send a little clip over to share his thoughts on Foregone.
Hey, Cindy. Hey, we're very excited about the project. Thank you so much for having us on. A few things about our project. It's Foregone Band. Our first song is called Hubris, and the first song is going to kind of concentrate on, like, PTSD. You know, we're friends with a lot of people who are war veterans, and it kind of, like, hits home for them. And I also have my father was in Vietnam, and he struggled most of my childhood with PTSD. And it's a spiritual warfare that we're dealing with, and I think we just kind of touch on that and how faith can heal a lot of broken parts in our lives. And that's one big thing in our band that we're really excited about. We are trying to reach people with, you know, mental health issues. There's so many people dealing with depression and anxiety, and life is not getting easier. And I feel like our music can relate to anyone dealing with those issues. Our second song is called Unchained. That one's going to pretty much deal with pill addiction, stuff like that. And, you know, it all comes back to spiritual warfare. And we believe that Jesus has overcome all of that for us. And we just want to put that in a artistic format on these songs. You know, our first songs will be really extremely heavy. busy and complicated. I think the second one's going to be very more singable and more rock radio friendly, I would assume. So we're hoping to get that on Christian radio, as well as we got some promotions going on. So we're hoping to get it into a lot of FM rock stations across the U.S. and stuff. So thank you so much for having us on, and we'll talk with you soon.
There you have it. Check out Foregone Band on social media.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music. And check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.